What the hell? Arnold said, staring at his monitors. What happened? Muldoon said. You lose power? Yeah, but only power on the perimeter. Everything in this building's working fine. But outside in the park, the power is gone. Lights, TV cameras, everything. His remote video monitors had gone black. But what about the two Land Cruisers? Stopped somewhere around the Tyrannosaur paddock. Well, Muldoon said, call maintenance and let's get the power back on. Arnold picked up one of his phones and heard hissing, Nedry's computers talking to each other. No phones, that damn Nedry. Nedry, where the hell is he? Dennis Nedry pushed open the door marked fertilization. With the perimeter power out, all the security card locks were disarmed. Every door in the building opened with a touch. The problems with the security system were high on Jurassic Park's bug list. Nedry wondered if anybody ever imagined that it wasn't a bug, that Nedry had programmed it that way. He had built in a classic trap door. Few programmers of large computer systems could resist the temptation to leave themselves a secret entrance. Partly it was common sense. If inept users locked up the system and then called you for help, you always had a way to get in and repair the mess. And partly it was a kind of signature. Kilroy was here. And partly it was insurance for the future. Nedry was annoyed with the Jurassic Park project. Late in the schedule, InGen had demanded extensive modifications to the system, but hadn't been willing to pay for them, arguing they should be included under the original contract. Lawsuits were threatened, letters were written to Nedry's other clients implying that Nedry was unreliable. It was blackmail, and in the end, Nedry had been forced to eat his overages on Jurassic Park and to make the changes that Hammond wanted. But later, when he was approached by Lewis Dodgson at Biosyn, Nedry was ready to listen, and able to say that he could indeed get past Jurassic Park security. He could get into any room, any system, anywhere in the park, because he had programmed it that way, just in case. He entered the fertilization room. The lab was deserted. As he had anticipated, all the staff was at dinner. Nedry unzipped his shoulder bag and removed the can of Gillette shaving cream. He unscrewed the base and saw the interior was divided into a series of cylindrical slots. He pulled on a pair of heavy insulated gloves and opened the walk-in freezer marked Contents Viable, Biological, Maintain -10°C minimum. The freezer was the size of a small closet, with shelves from floor to ceiling. Most of the shelves contained reagents and liquids in plastic sacks. To one side, he saw a smaller nitrogen cold box with a heavy ceramic door. He opened it, and a rack of small tubes slid out in a cloud of white liquid nitrogen smoke. The embryos were arranged by species, Stegosaurus, Apatosaurus, Hadrosaurus, Tyrannosaurus. Each embryo in a thin glass container, wrapped in silver foil, stoppered with polylene. Nedry quickly took two of each, slipping them into the shaving cream can. Then he screwed the base of the can shut and twisted the top. There was a hiss of releasing gas inside, and the can frosted in his hands. Dodgson had said there was enough coolant to last 36 hours, more than enough time to get back to San Jose. Nedry left the freezer, returned to the main lab. He dropped the can back in his bag, zipped it shut. He went back into the hallway. The theft had taken less than 2 minutes. He could imagine the consternation upstairs in the control room as they began to realize what had happened. All their security codes were scrambled and all their phone lines were jammed. Without his help, it would take hours to untangle the mess. But in just a few minutes, Nedry would be back in the control room setting things right, and no one would ever suspect what he had done. Grinning, Dennis Nedry walked down to the ground floor, nodded to the guard, and continued downstairs to the basement. Passing the neat lines of electric Land Cruisers, he went to the gasoline-powered Jeep parked against the wall. He climbed into it, noticing some odd gray tubing on the passenger seat. It looked almost like a rocket launcher, he thought, as he turned the ignition key and started the Jeep. Nedry glanced at his watch. From here into the park, and 3 minutes straight to the East Dock. 3 minutes from there, back to the control room. Piece of cake.